about beans. I don't think about beans. I know they bred several of them down around there.
I think we're gone.
That was a general idea to get the whiskey out and then burn the warehouse down.
The following is an interview with Thomas Moore McGinnis of 109 South 3rd Street, Bardstown, Kentucky, interviewed by Fajay Nally for the Kentucky Oral History Commission, speaking on Prohibition Days in Nelson County, Kentucky. This is January the 18th, 1989. Mr. Moore, Guinea, Tom Moore McGinnis, attended St. Joe Prep School, graduated there 1928, and Notre Dame, where he graduated in 1932. He is married to Carolyn Hurst. They have six children, Thomas Jr., John, Barbara, Mary, Robert, and William. Mr. McGinnis, Tom, can I call you that? Tell me, how old were you when Prohibition started?
Well, I've been about 7 years old. Did you say it started in 1960?
1920, I believe.
Prohibition 1920, I was 10 years old. I was born 1910, that'd make me 10, wouldn't it?
Yes. So you were 10.
About 10, 11, yeah.
Tell me what impressions you had as a 10-year-old when this phenomena happened in Nelson County.
I mean, I had a lot of hoopla.
You saw a lot of things happening.
Well, I mean, they had three bars here in town, saloons. Two up on Main Street and one back of the hotel over there. Right back there where the kitchen is now, they had a bar back there. An hotel.
What hotel was that?
Talbot Tavern over here.
Oh, I see. The famous Talbot Tavern.
Yeah, it had a bar. They had a bar back there where the kitchen is now. The livery stable back, was back there where the garage is, where Sigurd's garage, that was the old livery stable.
And a little boy noticed all those things.
Well, yeah.
Well, what? Give us a background of your family, and what your family was doing. What was their business at this time?
Well, mine was he was a storekeeper gauger. He was in charge of all these gaugers on the distilleries around here, and he made a run from. All up and down that line, the line from Springfield on to Bardstown and down to Shepherdsville. I went to all those distilleries with him when I was a kid. He'd take me out. He was a gauger, the alcohol man, you know.
Yes.
Tax collector, in other words.
Yes.
He was tax collector. Of course, when the Prohibition came, he lost his job. It went out. And he went in the bank after that.
I see. So
my job Shawnee was ran the stillery out there at the time and owned it, and he gave the old man his job in the Farmers Bank. Shawnee owned the Farmers Bank.
How interesting. Well, when you talk about all the distilleries, can you name a few of them for us?
Well, let's see, one's out there now. You go up down the line there, you come up from Springfield, you go, the first one would be Greenbrier. And yet early times, all on the railroad, every time Greenbrier, and you get down to Bardstown. Of course, the Tom Moore still was down the road here. It wasn't on the railroad, but most of them on the railroad. Had one out at the Nazareth.
Was that the Bean Distillery out of Nazareth?
No, that wasn't. It was Clearmont, I think, but I forget the name of it. Mm-hmm. They had one down here for the state, where the state garage is in Bardstown, a little Walker Distillery. They were all falling down there at that time. They just abandoned the damn things, but they did when Prohibition came. The distilleries themselves, they abandoned.
In other words, there was nobody even overseeing anything there. The property just was walked off from?
Well, no, they owned the property, but they wasn't nothing done. They had all of the machinery and everything just abandoned. We used to plant them on all the big old tanks and stuff.
Well, what happened to all the whiskey that was stored in the warehouses?
I tell you, they stole it and sold it.
Now, how could they get in to steal it? Wasn't it locked and bolted?
That's hearsay.
But it was around town, the word was that it was being confiscated.
It was medicinal purpose whiskey.
Oh, I see.
That's what.
Well, now that was legal.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're supposed to do with it. The government kept it under bond. It's supposed to be bonded warehouses. They were all bonded warehouses, and the government had control of the whiskey.
I see.
So they get their tax.
And so some of these distilleries were given permission to stay open as medicinal dispensers.
Oh yeah, they bottled their whiskey, some of them, and you still see some of their bottles around. I had a bottle or two of them around here for a long time. Bottled back after they called medicinal whiskey. You go to the drugstore, you get a prescription from your doctor, go get it.
So you had to go to your doctor, and then you went to your pharmacist. Did you buy it at the drugstore?
Yeah, you buy it at the drugstore.
I see. So the distilleries dispensed it and then sold it to the drugstores?
Medicinal whiskey.
Uh-huh.
What they sold
us. Was it 100 proof?
Government, yeah. I bought it bond, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all bottled in bond whiskey.
Well, why did some of the distilleries get permission to dispense this medicinal whiskeys and others didn't?
Well, they all did. They all got rid of their whiskey that way. They didn't make them burn their whiskey out.
They bought all their whiskey.
All the whiskey was stored in those warehouses. There was a crowd of it, you know, when it went in. As I say, most of it hit the bootleg market. They stole it.
I see.
From the government, what they did.
They didn't
steal it from the government either. They stole it from the distiller owned the whiskey. It was in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. He owned it. And he had to dispose of it as best he could, I guess. And it did medicinal purposes. If he wasn't all the way broke.
Well, what happened to when the bootleggers came and got their share illegally? Where did they take it, and how did they dispense of it? Did they take it to the hills? Did they hide it in places?
Bootleggers made their own whiskey.
Well, they didn't steal any then from the warehouses, the bootleggers.
That was in the market. You could buy good whiskey and you could buy bad whiskey.
Oh, so you knew.
It depends on what kind of whiskey you want to pay for it.
I see. And when the
moonshiners went in business right away. There's money in tax on that whiskey. Moonshine whiskey.
Well, how?
Everybody out in Balltown made whiskey.
Now tell us where Balltown is.
Where the hell have you been all your life?
Well, see, that has to be on our recording here. Balltown is what, 10 miles out of Bardstown, down 31 East South?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some people have not heard of Balltown.
Not there was a store. If you were in whiskey, if you isn't anywhere in Nelson County, anywhere in Kentucky, you're in Prohibition, and you wear Balltown, huh?
That's where you could get it.
Well, I mean, they made a lot in that area. There's a lot of weeds out in there, bushes.
Sort of
so
hidden.
Back there where Billy's Lake is, there's all that hills. You want any roads back in there?
I guess it was pretty dangerous territory then, wasn't it? Were people afraid to go back in there unless they knew somebody?
There wasn't nothing wrong. They didn't want to go out there and run up on a man's moonshine still. They'd have to shoot you. Guard his property.
Well, I guess this is true. What would a bottle of moonshine whiskey, a pint of moonshine whiskey, cost in those days?
Well, you could buy it any place in town.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody bootlegging.
Okay.
Almost in it, a dollar for a half pint.
Dollar for half pint.
It was drinkable. That was later on. They kept on making. They'll make it again. Some of it.
How would you describe Bardstown when all the distilleries went under this siege and everything had to change and people had to shift their whole lifestyle? What would you say? Was it chaotic? Were people panicked? Did it affect the banks?
I don't know what it did. I'm too young, I'd wear it in.
Yeah. Did you hear it discussed in your home?
Wear it in.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. What about the moral climate of Bardstown? Of course, you're too young to remember a lot of that too, but I just wondered, you know, when the money exchanged hands in the ways it did and things happened as they did, did it change, as you know, the way people lived and behaved? Did they get more reckless?
People just people. Mm-hmm. Like they always are.
Just about the same, then.
Same old people, no matter what they did.
Well, did things close? Did businesses close along with the distilleries, or did things remain about the same uptown?
The same old stores uptown as there was. They're still mm-hmm. up there right now. Mm-hmm. Most of them.
Same ones on Main Street.
On Main Street. They got rid of a few saloons up there and put in the Louisville store. And the but they had just a damn little country town, so it was.
Could you tell, were people apprehensive as it began to be?
Well, that was depression. People were out of money, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That didn't, I don't think prohibition had anything to do with much. Some of the prohibition people had more money than anybody. These bootleggers, moonshiners, they were rich people.
They weren't suffering then?
No, hell no, they were mm-hmm. doing good.
And what about the federal government and all? How did it try, to control all this? A whole lot, or did they realize that it was going to happen regardless of their efforts to control it?
They would confiscate the moonshine. Most of the moonshine is done around down out in the weeds, around Boston, those hills over there, and down around New Haven and Balltown, down in there, Helen Lake, down in there. That was all rough country and good place. And all the people knew how to make whiskey back in there. They all worked in distilleries around here. You know.
Okay.
And moonshiners made all the money. And they used to bootleg whiskey. They make it out there, and they drove a bootleggers come out here and get it, you know.
Now, how would they transport it? It had to be done in secret. How did they do it? Did they have?
They had cars, just like a car. They all had good cars.
They all had fine vehicles.
Oh, hell yes. And you could tell them when we lived down there on the corner by the church, and they'd come up that New Haven Road and Boston Road and go through town that way and go out the little road, go to Louisville, where there's most of the traffic. But, and they had old cars, and you'd see a fancy car with a guy driving it. You knew it damn well, he had whiskey in it.
And they never got intercepted?
Well, yeah, they'd catch them down there on the corner. They put a stake out down around the corner down there, but around my coon's house out there on that corner. When they came up there, see that before it came up the Boston Road, the Springfield Road, all that was all one road then came out to it. And they turned left, go up by the school, going up the road. And they'd catch them there, and they'd get to open the car up, and we'd watch them, and sort of they'd get to search the car, and they had tanks in the back of the seats, copper tanks and jugs, and carried there, which we had a little barrel of jugs. They threw it all in the gutter. They threw it in the gutter down there by, well, the little colored school down there by the Reekin.
St. Monica's?
South Shelton. That was a drainage ditch down through there. It was a big drainage ditch down through there. All the water in that end of town ran down. And they had a track. They threw it in the gutter down there.
Well, did they
pour it out?
Break up the containers and go through all that, like we see in pictures, you know,
yeah,
where they...
They had it in tin cans and everything else in those cars carrying it, and they'd stop them and arrest them. And
take them all to jail here in Nelson County?
Yeah, book them.
And then did they let them go, or did they keep them for a while and try them?
Let them go, I think. Yeah. Well, some of them got... Got caught bad, you sent you to Atlanta.
And Atlanta, you stayed a while, didn't you?
Yeah, you got to Atlanta. A lot of these guys over you ain't went to Atlanta.
Well, now tell me your connection with Thomas Moore Distilling Company here. Explain that for the people in Frankfort.
I have no connection with it.
No connection at all?
No.
I didn't know whether they weren't members of your family.
When Prohibition came, my grandfather sold it. He got out of the whiskey business.
Yes.
That was all to him. He quit. And his son, Conmore, Connie Cut him over daddy.
Yes.
He really took his old distillery down there. And he had old distillery probably Conmore owned it. And he owned it for a long time. And he sold it when Prohibition came back. He sold it to somebody and he started the distillery down there.
Are you familiar with Mr. Oscar Getz? Did you ever meet him or know him?
No, I don't know who was that people, Chicago Jews.
Well, he came down here because he knew that it was going to be a big business again.
Oh,
after Prohibition.
They had these people down here didn't have any money.
That's right.
They had some money, and these people, they had the property and the know-how to make the whiskey. And when the Prohibition was over with, and they jumped in down here and had the money. But that old Tom Order Steer was right on the original property that Tom Order Steer was. They used some of the warehouses, still using them.
And that's the one that Connie Moore, old Mr. Connie Moore, yeah, originally started.
Well, his daddy did. My grandfather, his daddy.
And then when it was called Tom Moore, that was your
grandfather.
Grandfather. Okay. Did you ever work there? Did you ever work there yourself?
What?
In the distillery?
Since it restarted up?
Uh-huh.
I worked there a little bit.
Did you?
Made my little maid down there. Wasn't no job there, you had to do something.
I know.
That was a job. Jobs. You heard of jobs, didn't you?
Big jobs. I mean, people, that's all they thought of was something to support life.
Yeah, jobs.
We that were born after this era don't know, do we? We just don't know what you live through when you live through these times.
Most of it's out of the Depression. I used to work for Standard Oil Company, Burke Room. They were the tank truck. And that was, of course, wasn't there. Prohibition been on a long time then. And those moonshiners down there around over where Millard Lake is, down in that country. I used to take a tank truck out, run out there and down those narrow roads, and these guys would come out of the woods and meet me with a wagon, horse wagon. That'd load up they'd have some several barrels in there that they run their moonshine off of kerosene. And they'd load the barrels up and then you'd take it back. Go to work.
Oh my. Now that, what year was that?
That was in the 30s.
In the 30s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. 33, 34, right before Prohibition, just before Prohibition came in.
Well, Prohibition ended, December 4th, 1933.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember Jim Beam? Can you tell me anything about him?
Well, when is Jim?
Yes.
He lived up on Main Street.
Yes.
Everybody in town was richer than Jim Beam.
Is that
you
so?
You that expression, haven't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I never understood it. Did he go bankrupt during Prohibition?
No, he had a big, he just lived up on Main Street. He had plenty of money.
Did he?
All those guys that got out of it had the money. My grandfather.
Well, he sold all that.
They sold out. They got the money when they sold out, yeah.
I see.
And Jim had a Pierce automobile and a nigger run, drive it, but hell, he was uptown.
So it didn't bother him because he went on with the medicinal and sold it to the government.
He got rid of the distillery. He just sold it to the distillery. Some nice guys in Chicago bought it. They were speculators.
Mm-hmm.
He was out of the business. He wasn't in it. Later on, Jerry got in that new distillery down there and started it.
Well, who were some of the other figures, like Jim Beam, that were in the business at the time that it all happened?
Well, Lewis Guthrie.
Yes. Was he early times?
Huh? Well, he was out with John Shawnee. He worked with John Shawnee at early times.
Yes. And he made a lot of money during that time, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Lewis.
Well, yeah, he stole the whiskey. When he closed up, well, of course, when John and Shawnee got out of it, he lived in town here. And he got out of the whiskey business. And Gov was a bookkeeper for him, worked for him out there. And he ended up living in that house out there. He got the, that farmhouse out there, Little Towns Farm.
Yes. I remember
Gov,
that.
When they closed the steerer down, Gov was out there and some friends of his, like Will Stiles, they got a lot of the whiskey and put it in Gov's basement. And then that belt built a vault out there.
No kidding.
And they had a vault in the basement because we used to steal whiskey from him.
His son Newman?
Yeah, we'd go camping. Newman always had to get the whiskey. And he'd steal it from Daddy, take it out of the basement, bottle, he'd get the cork off the and Clyde got over it.
Gosh.
We'll get that. Newman brought the whiskey up and go camping. But yeah, he had the vault. Remember, they helped some guys came out from Lowell or someplace, and a gunman came out there and held him up and robbed him. Stole all this whiskey from him.
No, I had never heard that.
Huh?
No, I didn't. There's just too much to hear.
Ben tell you, Ben was out there. He was a kid then, I guess. I don't remember. I guess you remembered it.
Ben Guthrie.
Yeah. I guess he would remember. He was much younger than the rest of us, but. Anyhow, they did. They held him up. Some guys stole his whiskey. He had all that good whiskey stored
right in his own basement.
In his basement, they knew it was in there. And they came out and they got it, carried it away. It was gone.
With a gun, everybody used guns then to make sure it was all carried out pretty well, didn't they?
That's what he had. There's a man up without a gun.
Well, do you remember the city and the county officials at that time? Who was in charge? Who was our...
I remember when they talking about that whiskey deal. They got caught, these guys, some of them. And they had a little in the Rouse building one night. We went down and looked in the window. And they had them in there and they were talking around. And Chuck Hammond was sheriff.
Chuck Hammond,
he's a sheriff, and they said, well, they arrested these fellas. And they all had us comfort. I don't know what they were doing. They were just seeing looking in the window. When they got through, the guy reached in his hip pocket and pulled out a half pint and passed it around. They all took a drink. Looked like he had some good whiskey in him.
Well, that was not unusual, was it, for those days?
No, sheriff, he took it.
The sheriff did too. Well, everybody did, didn't they? All they had before, so you know they didn't stop then. And
get a chance to get a hold of a bottle of good whiskey, real. They had the real stuff out there.
Well, who was the mayor? Do you remember that?
Oh, it was Wayne John Sisko.
I see.
He wasn't no mayor.
But he was the official mayor. I mean, he may have not been.
He was the mayor. If you want the mayor, for anybody to stand up and say he's the mayor, he was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he did. He wasn't no politician.
Well, I guess he had.
He was honorary mayor. Didn't have no mayor. Mm-hmm. Mayor didn't have anything to do.
Who did then? Who ruled the town as far as law and order? Was it the sheriff?
I guess it was. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody did.
There just really wasn't any law and order.
Oh, yeah, they had it. I guess the sheriff was the highest resting officer in town, in the county. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was. And they finally had a policeman here in Bardstown.
I bet he had a hard life.
When they first got a policeman. Remember the first policeman they had?
Who was he?
Heavy Tongue.
Oh,
Heavy
really?
Tongue was the first one.
He has a long-standing reputation.
He had a deputy.
But the city government, like we know it
they
now.
They had a chief. They always had a chief of police. I remember some fellow before Heavy was. I remember the man's name. I can think of it.
Mm-hmm.
He always had
Mr. Burba?
No, Burby worked for Hetty.
Oh, he was just Burby a was deputy, a, huh?
He was a night patrol one.
Oh, I see.
So like Burby, he was a barber and a night patrol.
Did you see during Prohibition an influx of people from the cities? Were they out here trying to confiscate this whiskey? For instance, you know, the awful reputation of Chicago and the gangsters that came out of there with the liquor business. Was there any of that shifted here?
Okay, the only gangsters I know is that the ones that robbed the Gov out here every time.
Really?
Well,
I didn't know if Al Capone's people had drifted down or not.
No, he had no
bad. Didn't have any of that.
I don't think so. Dude, I didn't see him.
Were there frequent arrests and that type of thing going on? People getting called in by the government, the federal agents and all that?
Well, the federal agents out here always chased them.
Mm-hmm. This is hard to
believe. A rate of moonshine, the guys would run, you know, they would just fool it and take off through the weeds.
Were there a lot of shootings?
No, not enough.
Probably more than
that. No, it was just good, friendly whiskey drinking.
So there really wasn't a lot of animosity between the federal government and the federal people and the people that were into moonshining and all. They all understood one another, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure they understood too that the families had to be supported somehow, and this was the method.
They didn't have nothing to do with it.
They didn't care about that.
Why would it? They had a job to do.
Yes.
They wasn't sitting on every corner looking for a bootlegger. Well, hell, they were. They dressed everybody in Nelson County.
Well, let's see. How did the churches? Did you hear anything in the pulpit? For instance, for the priests at St. Joseph's or the Baptist minister at the church here, were they into talking about this? Did they preach on it?
Out of St. Thomas, they promoted it.
They did.
Hell yeah. I think they better moonshine some themselves. They got that farm out there, you know.
Yes.
I don't know what they did out there, really. But that's where all the moonshiners came from, St. Thomas. They were the biggest wheels in the church out of St. Thomas, the moonshiners.
So, of course, they didn't say a thing.
No, they wasn't turning anybody in, if that's what you're talking about.
That's why I wondered.
No, they were for them.
They were.
Yeah, they hide them.
Protect them, etc.
Yeah. Prohibition wasn't very popular around this area.
Oh, no. Well, do you remember Father O'Connell? Was he at St. Joseph's, I think, in the 1920s?
Yeah, I made my first communion with him.
You did? We've got a wonderful group of artifacts of Father O'Connell's at the museum.
Yeah,
some beautiful things. He wrote some prayer books and things. Well, what did he have to say?
Did he get
into it at all?
He died pretty soon after that. He wasn't around with.
Oh, he was?
I just barely made my first communion when he died, I think.
I see.
I made it before my ears.
Well, what about the surrounding counties?
We knew Father Connell because I lived down there right next to him, down there on that street.
You did?
Yeah, I lived there where Marie Keene lived. That's where I was raised. Lived there forever, for a long time.
He was a fine man.
And the Moores lived across the street. Con Moores, all those cats, big family, Dubuses.
Is that the houses that are gone now, the ones?
No, they're all there. The Moore houses gone.
Yeah.
That's where Shelton's.
Yes.
The others are still there. Spaulding's living on the corner.
That house is gone now.
Yeah, that's gone. Uh-huh.
What about Marion County and Washington County? Did they all just blend in together with Nelson County and about the same type of behavior? Do you know?
I don't. I wasn't traveling much in those days.
Well, that's right. Did many people have cars, or were most people on foot doing everything?
Everybody had cars, bought a deed.
I didn't know whether there was much car action or not with
what
all
do you
this.
Mean? Sure, there's cars.
Mm-hmm. I thought people just had so little money they really couldn't, didn't own them.
Well, they all had to. A lot of them, and there's still a few buggies around, horse and buggies. Still a few of those around.
Really?
You go out on a dark night, you run into one on a narrow bridge, sure as hell.
Well, how strict were the doctors in giving these prescriptions?
I don't know about that. I never. Most people around here didn't bother prescriptions. They got their own whiskey. You had to get it.